You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball. Join Andy and Patrick weekly as they bring you up to date on all things Ute.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ute Talk. It is Thursday, April 20th, and this is episode 30. My name is Andy, and I hope you all are doing well. I'm joined by my co-host and writer for Torn by Sports Network, Patrick. How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing great.
Good deal. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the show. And if this is your first time, welcome. U Talk Podcast is part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks, and we produce this once a week for your enjoyment. Please add us to your favorite RSS feed, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes, and follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. Apologize that we've been kind of MIA for the last couple of weeks, month or so. Just a lot going on with schedules and conflicts and things like that, but this will be our last show of the year. Well, I guess of the quarter. Once football fall camp starts up middle of July, we will start getting things going and giving our opinions on the team and what we have to look forward to for the season. So let's get right into it, though. Some Ute news, and most of you guys might already know this, but Devin Daniels and JoJo Zamora have both left the University of Utah running Utes basketball team. If you remember, Devin Daniels was suspended for 3 games towards the end of the year for violating team rules. Don't know what that really is at this point. Nothing has come out about it, but I mean, it could be a multitude of things. Late to practice, it could be, you know, fighting with other players, fighting with coaches, not doing, you know, classwork. Just could be about a million different things. But I am sad that Daniels is gone. Daniels, I think, played really, really well as a freshman. I think he had a lot of potential. I was excited to see him grow over the year and grow with Cedric Bearfield and the incoming players. So I am pretty bummed that he is gone. He averaged 9.9 points, 4.6 rebounds a game. He had the second most assists throughout the year. And he also shot 40% from three. So we're going to miss him. We're going to miss his tenacious defense and what he brought to the table. JoJo Zamora, another one. He has left the team as well. JoJo averaged 6.9 points and shot 36% from three. And he was a decent player. He played hard. I think he had a lot of potential, but you know, obviously things didn't work out here. And wish them both best of luck. Sad to see them go. What are your thoughts on it, Patrick?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I was excited to see Daniels kind of grow in the program, and you know, you're exactly right. He had a lot of potential. He still does. Mm-hmm. Wherever he lands, he's going to be a good player. But I was excited to see him come back next season and be a year better, yep. Be a year more mature. And so it sucks to see him leave. I mean, JoJo Zamora, you know, it sucks when guys continually keep transferring out after the season. But, you know, it happens in every program. It's just the way it is. College basketball's changed over the years, mm-hmm. where guys just, they're kind of like nomads. They don't stick around very long like they used to. But yeah, Devin Daniels, losing him definitely hurts the Utes. I think he was going to be a leader next year for them. JoJo Zamora, kind of an inconsistent player, but was kind of coming into his own there towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, it hurts the consistency of the team. Cause you want guys coming back because, you know, they're starting to gel together. They're playing together, and it hurts consistency wise, but, you know, next man up, Larry K will find some guys to come in who can fill the void, and, you know, hopefully the Utes can make it to the dance next season.
Absolutely. And I think you brought up a good point that college basketball has changed over the last couple of years and how players are looking for that next opportunity. Like, they're not, you know, lack of better terms, I guess, not pressing through adversity. They're giving up at it, you know, and just like, oh, well, if I'm going to be, you know, if I'm not going to be the guy here, or I'm going to have to fight my way for a position, then I'm just going to go somewhere where they'll appreciate me, essentially. You know, and not to say that that's what happened in this situation, but I feel like a lot of players that are transferring out of programs across the country, you know, whether it be, I think Duke or Kansas has lost somebody, Oregon just lost a couple people. So it's just surprising that, you know, some of this upcoming generation is just so easy to, well, I'll go somewhere else. They'll appreciate me more and just leave the program. Or is it a coaching problem? Mix of both? I don't know. It's hard to say. I think Larry Kay does a phenomenal job. You know, every time I watch him on the sidelines, I'm like, I would want to play for this guy.
Yeah, I think Larry Kay's he's one of those tough old school guys. You expect guys to come in and work hard and
bring your lunch pail.
You know, I mean, you look at the generation that's coming up. They want the easy. They want the easy. I mean, if you think, what if Majerus was coach right now? How hard he was on guys and the things you hear, you know, that he said to guys, and you know, I just think it's, you know, kind of a conflicting personalities. You have an old school coach who wants guys to come in and work hard, and then you have maybe some, you know, younger generation guys coming up who, you know, want the easy route, don't want to really work too hard, just kind of want to slide by. But
sure,
yeah, it's definitely interesting to see. I know a lot of people are freaking out about it, and just because it's happened so frequently with guys transferring out of the program. But
yeah,
I think, you know, the coaches need to sit down. They need to find out what kind of guys they want to recruit and bring on board, and bring those type of guys on board, and
make a
team out of them.
Sure. For as many people, players that have transferred out of the program, think of how many have stayed in the program. DeLon Wright stayed. Jakob Poeltl stayed. Both 2 years, and both became, you know, top picks in the NBA draft. So, you know, I mean, yeah, it's hard to say exactly what's going on up there, but in Larry we trust. In Larry I trust, at least. Moving right along. So with the transfers going out of Daniels and Zamora, Utah actually has a transfer coming in, Justin Bibbins, graduate transfer from Long Beach State. he's a smaller player. Will be interesting to see how he fits in, but you know, maybe he'll be that mold of a Brandon Taylor, a little undersized, but you know, has a lot of fight in him and can knock down some shots. He's 5'8", 150 pounds, averaged 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 4.6 assists a game last year for Long Beach. Played about 32 minutes a game, so he's playing a lot of minutes. Shot 39% from field goals, 37% from three, 85 from free throw line. So Utah adds him to the mix. I'm assuming they'll pair him alongside with Bearfield, or you know, maybe one of those two will be the first guard off the bench.
I mean, I think, you know, he could definitely be a good facilitator alongside Bearfield. I think Bearfield's could be really good off the ball.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, when he's on, he's got a good shot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who they bring on board. I know maybe they have a couple more scholarships open or whatnot, but you know, good transfer. They need a point guard who's kind of a pass first guy, and hopefully he can be that guy.
Sure, absolutely. And I'm excited to pair these guys, or Bibbins, along with Donnie Tillman. Tillman assigned his letter the other day, a couple weeks ago. He is from Detroit, Michigan, played for the Finley College Prep down there in Henderson, Nevada. He's a 6'7", 220-pound forward, four-star recruit, so very excited to get him. Not only did he stay committed, but, you know, actually signed with the team, even after the transfers of Zamora and Daniels. Donnie had a lot of quality offers: Boston College, California, Creighton, Iowa State, Marquette, TCU, UNLV, USC, Virginia Tech, UTEP. So a lot of quality offers out there, and you were able to grab them. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table, mix him in with Bearfield, Bibbins, Collette. Jace Johnson continues to grow. And if Kuzma comes back, that, you know, that's another question. You know, this team could be pretty good. We could sneak in to the dance next year.
Yeah, Tillman, I believe Tillman's going to be an immediate impact guy. He's going to come in and demand playing time. And, you know, whether or not Kuzma stays, he's definitely a guy who could play the three or the four. Mm-hmm. You know, you could, if Kuzma does stay, you could move Kuzma to the four, put him at the three, have, you know, a fairly lengthy wing there. But, yeah, immediate impact guy. I think he's going to come in and take some playing time away, or, you know, get either start or, you know, at least have starter minutes most of the time.
Absolutely. Well, moving along here with our news, let's get right into the red and white spring game. So that just happened this past Saturday. You know, we get our first peek at Troy Taylor's offense and what, you know, what it can bring, what it can do with the weapons that Utah has. A lot of bright spots that I saw. Devonta Henry Cole is a beast. He is quite the mighty hamster. You know, that he's just is very difficult to bring down. He's a ball player. You know, he's going to catch that ball out of the backfield. He's going to run with it, and he's going to plow through guys. Zach Moss, unfortunately, went down with an arm injury. Did have successful surgery recently, so that's good news. But, Patrick, what can you tell us about the red and white game? What did you like? What didn't you like? You know, a few things. You know, the O-line was definitely a patchwork O-line. Didn't have, you know, any of the starters or projected starters in or even there with the team because they don't come until fall. What did you like about it?
You know, it was a red white spring game. A lot of young guys, a lot of inexperienced guys getting reps, a lot of new guys getting reps at you know, different positions. But Troy Taylor's offense, you know, I think if, you know, they can find the right guy at quarterback, whether that's Williams or Huntley, it's going to be a fast-paced offense. And, you know, the Utes have promised that for years and never, you know, we've never seen it. But I truly believe it's going to be fast-paced this upcoming season. Devonta Henry Cole, playmaker, he definitely is in the mix to start in that backfield, along with Moss and Shine. I think you're going to see kind of a three-headed monster, kind of like you did when Joe Williams retired last season. But they have three capable backs. I mean, once Shine and Moss get healthy, there's, you know, and add Henry Cole in the mix, that's three capable backs who can do a lot on the ground for you. And also, you know, Henry Cole is great out of the backfield catching the ball as well. So really excited to see that. You know, the receivers, they look good. They have a lot of talent. A lot of guys are stepping up. You know, Kendrick Young's finally coming into his own. You know, C.O.C. Wilson, Raylan Singleton, Trey McCormick's looking good in the slot. A lot of good. Damari Simpkins, Samson Nakua. Just a lot of good receivers, a lot of good young talent. I mean, Tyquez Hampton looks phenomenal against, you know, I know he's playing against the walk-ons or third strings, but guys, big bodied receiver, looks good. Offensive line, you know, you can't really tell much from it. It really wasn't, you know, it was just kind of a patchwork offensive line, like you said. Defensively, I mean, the defensive line is going to be solid again. Linebackers, you know, I think the linebackers will be a lot better this season. They have some good talent in there. I think Donovan Thompson's going to make a name for himself and demand some playing time. Cody Barton looked good, looked a year improved. And then, of course, the defensive backs. I think Julian Blackman played really well at corner. Of course, you have Chase Hansen back there. He's going to start. But it's exciting, all the young talent that they do have. And all the talent that they have coming in the fall, it's going to be an exciting and a lot of good battles to look out for.
Most definitely. Yeah, you got to take just the right amount away from the spring game. You can't take too much. You can't take too little. You know, there's little glimpses here and there that, you know, lead you to be like, okay, this is what it could be like. You know, like Patrick said, you know, patchwork O-line, you know, some players that have a lot of talent there, inexperienced, that, you know, they're getting some rep, they're getting their feet wet. So it'll be very exciting to see once fall camp hits, you know, we get some of the other guys in, start building some consistency and really building that depth chart for the first and second string. So next up, we wanted to talk about the Chris Hill Media Roundtable. So just a couple things. They are going to upgrade and update, and this is very much needed. New video and scoreboard for the Huntsman Center. Would be about a $4 million project, but it desperately needs it for both gymnastics and the basketball programs that they're men and women's. It definitely needs an update. The sound system is rough. The scoreboard is, you know, small. It's old. It's just not doing it for me anymore. So I'm actually very enthused with that one. Hopefully, you know, they make it really nice and it pays off for them. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, they definitely need some in there that's new, especially for those Red Rocks. Those girls kill it.
Gymnastics, there we go, yep.
But yeah, it's definitely needed. I mean, upgrades are always nice. You know, it's nice for the program. It's nice for the players there. It's nice for the fans. It's nice for the recruits as well.
Sure.
That they're trying to bring in. So, I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, what they have up there now is old, and it's time for some new.
Time for an upgrade. Excuse me. Other things that were brought up was the company for the feasibility study has not been hired, but they expect it to be done, the study completed by the end of the summer. With that, the stadium renovations that potentially could be made would be completely fully funded by the athletic department. No state or university money would be used. I'm excited to see what they get from this study. You know, I'm an advocate of expanding. I don't think we need to go too large, but we definitely need to expand the stadium. You know, expanding that south end, make it a full bowl, add in some sweet level stuff in there. it would really make the Rice Cycle Stadium just rock every game, and put us up there with the other Pac-12 teams. You know, right now we have a G5 stadium, but we have P5 facilities, and, you know, we're getting that P5 talent. So we really need to get a P5 stadium.
I agree. I'm all for expansion. I think, like you said, you know, do it right. Don't do too much. Just, you know, do enough that it's going to bring a great atmosphere, even better atmosphere, yeah, to Rice Eccles.
You don't want to have empty seats.
Yeah. But they definitely need to expand, add some more seats in there, add some suite level stuff, make it a P5 stadium. You know, you enclose that south end zone, make it even louder than it is,
yeah,
it on would be game really day. Loud. But yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's great, and I think it's great that it'll come from, you know, the athletic funds rather than from the state or university. Yeah. As well.
Then we don't get any audits. So another point that Chris Hill made was that he's opening or is open to taking more chances in football. So years past, there's been like an A game, a B game, and a C game. Looking at possibly doing an A-minus game and then a C game. So upgrading that B game to a little bit better of an opponent, maybe in the bottom tier of a, you know, I don't know, the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12, you know, a bottom tier team, you know, that would be really exciting. Curious what you the fans think about that one. Who would you want as the A-minus and the C team?
BYU's the C team, aren't they?
Well, of course, absolutely. They were last year, or they were the B team last year, I guess. it'll be interesting to see how that is. With that being mentioned, Chris Hill did turn down a $1.5 million non-conference game, saying that it wasn't good timing for the program. And that one is interesting to me. And maybe he turned it down because it was going to be a neutral site, or, you know, only, you know, as a road game for Utah, nothing reciprocated back for us, besides the money. But, you know, I kind of like that he declined it, because it shows that, you know, we're demanding our respect. You know, Utah, you know, ever since 2004 has been building this, you know, respect the process, and everyone is against us, and, you know, we're just going to keep our nose down, our heads down, and just keep moving along and picking off these opponents one by one. Excuse me. And, you know, I think it's, you know, it's good by Chris Hill to say, like, no, we want something in return. We want you to come to our stadium, you know, next year or a couple years down the line, whatever it might be. So I'm 50-50 on it. Obviously, yes, I want, you know, the bigger opponent, but at the same time, I want them here in our place.
Yeah, you know, you definitely got to get a home and home with whoever you're getting it to. I mean, if you're going to go there and play, you definitely want that team, whoever it is, to come, you know, play at your house as well the following season. So,
and I feel like we've earned that.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have earned it over the years, and the Utes have continually gotten better, and their talent is continually getting better every season. So it's definitely something that they've earned. And, you know, a lot of these big name teams, they need to respect the Utes, because, you know, the Utes take it to them, you know, a majority of the time when they do play in bowl games or whatnot. So it's interesting. I wonder who it was with that he turned it down. And he said the timing wasn't right. Could that be because, you know, they have a new offensive coordinator, they have kind of a younger team this season? But, you know, it's interesting, but they definitely have to, you know, reciprocate. You know, if they're going to go there and play against, say, like Ohio State or whatever, then, you know, Ohio State needs to come to Rice-Eccles and play, you know, the following season or whatnot. But I'm all for adding, you know, those big games. When the Utes started off with Michigan a couple of years ago, that was awesome. I mean, last year's game against SUU was just kind of a dud. Mm-hmm. This year they got North Dakota. It's kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
You know, not too exciting. But, you know, I understand they got to play those games to, you know, get their guys ready, get their feet wet, get some mistakes corrected and whatnot. But I love the thought of, you know, starting off with, you know, an A team, or having that second game be an A team, or just some along the line. But I also, on the flip side, I also understand the Utes have such a tough conference schedule. I mean, the Pac-12 is a brutal schedule. So I understand both sides of it.
Yeah. So then with that, do you think Pac-12 should go from a 9 to an 8 game conference schedule?
I don't know.
I like having the nine because it's you know, I mean, that's one extra team that, you know, is a quality opponent.
Yeah.
And so if you get rid of it, then, you know, I feel like you have to add in a quality opponent.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's tough to say. On that, I'm 50-50 as well.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the nine-game schedule against the Pac-12 just because every team in the Pac-12 is basically a quality team outside of the Oregon State Beavers. But, I mean, every other team that you're playing is tough. I mean, Washington State's gotten tougher as the years have gone on.
Yeah.
I mean, the South is tough in and of itself, and Colorado's, over the past couple of seasons, Colorado's gotten a lot tougher.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm 50-50 on it as well. It's a tough thing to do because the schedule's so hard, and you can see, you know, come November, every November, Utes are kind of worn down from the tough schedule. So, it's interesting, and just, I don't know. I'm 50-50 on it as well.
Yeah. Well, we'll move right along then. That was the Chris Hill Media Roundtable and what he discussed there. Now, before we end the show, we're just going to break down the Running Utes basketball season and a little preview into next year, and then same with the football, recap of the season and preview for next season. So jumping in with the basketball. So a couple things, obviously Devin Daniels and JoJo Zamora have left the team. Bibbins has signed with the team and Donnie Tillman has signed. The big question mark right now would be Kyle Kuzma. My personal opinion is I think he needs to come back. I don't think he had a very good year. I think he has a lot more to prove at the college level and to grow for the college level. right now, looking at a mock draft, he is slated, again, mock draft, as the 31st pick. So the first pick in the second round, going to Atlanta currently. Now, I think most of you would agree with me that, you know, Kuzma did not have a good year. There was seemingly a lot of dysfunction with the team kind of middle of the year, and then Daniels gets suspended. I'm almost wondering if part of that was Kuzma. I don't know. Just speculation at this point, but Kuzma never seemed to take that leadership role that we all expected. You know, he learned a little bit from DeLon Wright. Learned a little bit more from Pirtle and Brandon Taylor last year. And then, you know, this year it was kind of like, okay, here's the keys to the car and, you know, we're going to go as far as you take us. And it didn't seem like he really did much. You know, he never, some games he applied himself, usually against lesser opponents. He never seemingly got the team to rally as much. You know, he came out and I was trying to find the quote earlier, but he came out and after the season and said that he tried to be the leader on the team. He tried to take that role, but it was a very difficult thing because players weren't listening. And so it's obviously there was some dysfunction with that, but Utah ended up finishing the year losing in the first round of the NIT. So we ended 20-12. 20 wins is good. You know, how they lost was very frustrating. You know, the Boise State game at home in the NIT, you know, Utah's up by 7.5 and then pretty much led the game the entire way till the final couple of minutes, and then Boise State just pulled away. excuse me. The Boise State point leader, Hutchinson, just absolutely destroyed Utah. Utah couldn't do anything to stop him. He was getting bucket after bucket, inside, outside, whatever he wanted, he was getting. And so it just seemed kind of like, it seemed like they had given up. Like they were just like, you know, it's the NIT. There's some dysfunction. let's just end this season already. You know, that's kind of what my takeaway from the game was. You know, the season had a lot of positives, a lot of negatives, you know, a lot of in between. You know, there's some games that we won. There's some games that we probably should have won, and games that we probably should have lost too. I think the team had a lot of potential, and it just never quite gelled the way that we all wanted it to, and the way that Larry wanted it to. You know, what's kind of your take on how the season went about, how it ended? Yeah,
it was a frustrating season, as a fan. I'm sure it was frustrating for coaches and players as well. Just kind of an up and down season. And you're exactly right. I mean, there was no real leader, no real vocal leader on that team. Nobody who could, you know, huddle the guys up and, you know, settle them down, or, you know, give them some tough love, make them work harder. There was just no real vocal leader in it, and it showed in a lot of games, especially, you know, that last game in the NIT. Those guys just looked so unmotivated, mm-hmm. looked like they didn't want to be there. You know, I know it's the NIT, but you guys put yourself in that situation. Why not play hard? The Utes could have definitely won.
Absolutely.
Or even, you know, made it really far in the NIT. They had the talent and the potential to do so. They just, you know, they lacked the motivation. And that goes to, you know, there really being no leader. I mean, last season you had leaders on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Brandon Taylor, you had Pirtle. The year before that, I mean, DeLon Wright, you had guys who, you know, would get in your face, you know, and you know, take the reins. But I agree. I mean, Kuzma is a question mark. Is he going to come back? Is he going to go pro? You know, he's not signing with the agent, so, you know, he does have that flexibility. I do think that he needs to come back another year. You know, he definitely didn't play very well against top-level competition this past season. I know he played well against, you know, kind of the lower-level teams, but mm-hmm. he really didn't have that great of a season. I think if he came back and had a good season, he could definitely be a first-round pick. I don't think he's really NBA-ready right now. That mock draft surprised me that he's, you know, 31st pick, you know, in the mock draft. That's,
yeah,
that's surprising.
Yeah, that shocked me too.
But definitely a team that had a lot of potential, a lot of talent. You're not going to see the same team this next season just because guys, you know, Kuzma leaves, and with those other guys leaving the program as well. So it's going to be another season, you know, maybe like before, maybe like this past season. It's going to be, you know, guys learn how to play together, guys learn how to gel. But it'll be an interesting season. And, you know, you just got to trust Larry K that he'll bring in the right guys, and guys will start playing harder for him.
Absolutely. So, yeah, next year, you know, you got Tillman into the mix. Jace Johnson has another year to, you know, develop as an offensive player. David Collette, another year to gel. Bearfield, I think, a lot of potential with him. Bibbins getting involved. And then obviously if Kuzma does come back, you know, that's another, you know, very experienced player, where we could sneak in. We could make some noise in the Pac-12 champion, or in the Pac-12 tournament, because there's a lot of teams in the Pac-12 that are losing players.
Yeah.
You know, Arizona is losing a couple players. Oregon's lost a couple players. Washington is losing Fultz. UCLA is losing Ball and Leaf. So, I mean, it's going to be a completely different Pac-12 teams next year. And so, you know, if Kuzma does come back, you know, I feel like Utah could definitely make some noise. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. That's enough about the running Utes. Let's get back to some more football here. So for football, I was looking up the latest mock draft, and this gets me really excited for not only these players that are projected to be picked in the mock draft, but just future Ute players and how this helps with recruiting. You know, Garrett Bowles, you know, projecting to be 25th pick. I think he could even go higher than that. you know, seems like he just keeps going up on those draft boards. Marcus Williams in the third round. excuse me. Sam Tevy and Brian Allen in round five. Round six. Round five, also Asiata. Round six, Hunter Dimmick, J.J. Dillman. So a lot of potential or a lot of players potentially being drafted under the University of Utah banner, if you will. Very exciting for the program. It's great to see these guys, you know, have this publicity about them. And, you know, it just adds a lot to the school and just makes it really exciting. You know, it's great to see these guys have success. And there's a couple of local guys in there, too. You've got Asiata, Bowles, and Dimmick.
Yeah, it's crazy how much talent that team had last season, especially along the offensive line. I mean, crazy talent. Asiata, Bowles, I mean, J.J. Dillman, Sam Tevy. Just probably one of the best offensive lines that Utah's ever had. And then, you know, Marcus Williams was an insane talent. I think he's going to do really well in the NFL. Yeah.
And then I think he goes higher than a three.
Yeah. And then Hunter Dimmick, I mean, I think he could be a good NFL player. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. Whoever picks him up is going to have a pleasant surprise on their hands. You know, I think he kind of feels disrespected. He wasn't invited to the combine. So definitely going to, you know, make some noise in the NFL, I think. But a lot of talent on that team. I mean, Joe Williams isn't even on there. I think he might get drafted. It's crazy to see Brian Allen on there. A couple of years ago, he wasn't even starting. And then,
yeah.
But that's what the Utes do. They find these big-bodied corners and they develop them. And, you know, look what happens. You get drafted. So,
yeah. So keep on coming to the U if you want to go to the NFL. We're an NFL factory here up on the hill. So great for those guys, you know, wish them the best of luck, wherever their future takes them. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of Utes that get signed to some practice squads as well, which is exciting. So with the program or with the season, the 2016 season came to a close, Utah obviously beats, Indiana, in the Foster Farms Bowl in San Francisco. You know, what did you take away from the season as a whole? What didn't you like? What did you like with the season?
I thought it was a good season. Definitely a heartbreaking season. They shouldn't have lost to Cal. Shouldn't have lost to Oregon. It's kind of a season where you look back and think, you know, what could have been. It definitely was, I think, their best shot at winning the South and going to the Pac-12 championship game.
Everything fell in place for them except for the two losses that they had in control.
Yeah, you know? So, I mean, so much talent on that team. I think they're a year, two, or maybe even three removed from making another run. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. This upcoming season is going to be really interesting just because there's so many new faces and new offense again. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't take them that long.
Sure.
Because, I mean, they're bringing in talent. I think they had one of their best recruiting classes, if not the best to date. So it's going to be an interesting season upcoming. I'm excited to see the battles. I'm excited to see how the offensive line and the offense comes together. And I think the defense is going to be really good again. I think their defensive line is going to be really good. They have a lot of talent along that line with, you know, Lowell, Mocha Feese, Kylie Fitz, once he gets 100% healthy. And then they have a lot of young talent, you know, Bradley and I, and just so much talent along that line. They just continue to reload. Linebackers, I think, are going to be a year improved. And the defensive backs, that's going to be a fun battle to watch in the fall just because they already had some talented guys on the roster. Mm-hmm. Who they weren't really experienced. You know, some of them played a little bit last season and, you know, kind of got their feet wet, but, you know, and then they have a lot of talent coming in the fall, who are going to, you know, battle out for those positions.
Yeah,
Chase Hansen's going to be a year improved. He was great last season. So, you know, the real question marks, I think, are, you know, you look at the offensive line, the offense as a whole. You know, I think Troy Williams probably is going to get the nod just based on experience. But I think Huntley is definitely going to push him for some playing time.
Definitely. Do you think that they should use a red shirt on Huntley?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not going to play him, I don't see why not. I mean, they have Cooper Bateman back there who, mm-hmm, I think he's kind of like Troy Williams. They're kind of the same type of quarterback. If you're not going to play Huntley, I think you might as well redshirt him.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Devonta Henry Cole, they burned his red shirt last season for one play.
Yeah.
Which was ridiculous. But if you're not going to use him, I would say, you know, keep him there as kind of an emergency quarterback. But if you're not going to play him, then just redshirt him.
Sure. Because, I mean, you've got Jason Shelley coming in. And let's see, the following year you've got Tuttle, right? So, I mean, Huntley will be in a quarterback battle.
Yeah,
for the next coming couple of years too.
Yeah, and it's surprising. A lot of people, they talk about Tuttle, but a lot of people don't talk about Jason Shelley. And Jason Shelley is a good dual threat quarterback.
I think,
you know, I know Tuttle's a good quarterback, but you can't, you know, take Jason Shelley out of the mix.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot about Shelley talked about recently, which is interesting. So he's got a lot of potential as well. So as far as, oh, I had it pulled up. The schedule for next year. So we opened up against North Dakota, home game. Then we are at BYU, home game against San Jose State, at Arizona, home against Stanford, at USC, home against Arizona State, at Oregon, home against UCLA, home against Washington State, at Washington, home against Colorado. Quite the schedule of teams there. You know, I mean, again, that Pac-12 gauntlet, if you will, you know, at Arizona, which Rich Rod always seems to have our number. You know, home against Stanford, that's a tough game. At USC, that's a tough one. Home against Arizona State, at Oregon. You know, Oregon, you know, is now, you know, they came back and laid the hammer on us last year. Home against UCLA, that's going to be a tough one, with Rosen. Home against Washington State, you know, Washington State went 9-3 last year. You know, they have a very, very good offense. At Washington, that game is going to be extremely difficult. And then home against Colorado. So a lot of tough games next year. Luckily, we've get looks like three C's in our non-conference with North Dakota, BYU, and San Jose State.
Yeah, it's another tough conference schedule for the Utes. And, of course, I mean, that BYU game is always tough. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's always, I mean, last year was scary enough. Hopefully the Utes come out and...
Y'all laughed at me when I said Taysom Hill is going to bring him back. And sure enough, he about won it for him.
Yeah. So, I mean, another tough schedule ahead, you know, conference-wise. It's just, I'm excited to see what this team becomes here in the fall and see kind of how they come together and gel and see how the depth chart shakes out. They definitely have a lot of talent. I mean, the talent just keeps growing up on the hill, and they keep bringing in more and more talent each season. And, You know, they're getting up there in the upper echelon of the Pac-12. They're starting to, you know, compete with, you know, the top teams for the top talent. And, you know, I think with the recruiting class they got this past season, there's going to be a lot of guys that can come in and make an immediate impact at their various positions. And it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to see how Troy Taylor's offense gets into place, how quickly it gets into place, how much they open it up in those first couple of games. You know, very excited to get to those fall camp practices and see these guys compete and get involved with making a name for themselves. You know, there's a lot of talent coming in, like you mentioned, with the cornerbacks. You got Johnson, the, I don't know how to spell his or pronounce his name, but the Guidry,
yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Dude's fast.
Yeah. You got him, and then obviously Burgess had some experience last year. You know, Blackman experienced last year. So a lot of potential on the defensive side of the ball to be better. Devere Hamilton, you know, seems like he might be kind of like a hybrid D-line linebacker, kind of like the Trevor Riley mix. Offense, you know, a lot of O-line guys coming in fall camp. Troy Williams, I think, gets the nod again just because of the experience as well. You know, like Patrick said, so will be interesting to see how it comes. I'm just excited for an aggressive play calling. You know, I'm kind of tired of the you know, the run option up the middle. You know, let's get something a little bit different. Let's get some, you know, fly sweeps, some out routes, some corners, some, you know, slants, everything. I love that deep ball. The deep ball gets people excited and brings the energy in the building. So very excited to see what Troy Taylor actually brings to the offense, how much of a leash Whittingham gives him as well with the play calls.
Yeah, and on top of that, I'm excited to finally, you know, see what a quarterback coach can do with
that's true
with the quarterbacks that the Utes have. I mean, they've never, outside of Brian Johnson, they've never really had a, you know, a QB coach that you know, has played the position and, you know, can develop these guys. So it's going to be interesting to see how Troy Williams and Huntley and, I mean, even Bateman develop over the season. And I'm excited for the season to start. I wish it was starting sooner, but
yeah,
I think it's going to be an interesting season. I think the Utes will put together a good team. They'll be competitive. I don't think they'll win the South, but I think they'll at least be competitive, you know, in the Pac-12.
Definitely. Most definitely. Well, Patrick, do you have anything else for us before we sign off for the next couple of months?
No, just excited for the season to start. Hopefully they'll open up some more practices for the media so that we can view a little bit more and get some more of our opinions going on what we're seeing. So
get some of that insider info.
Yeah, so hopefully they open up a lot more practices and scrimmages. I know they probably won't, but we can hope, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to Ute Talk Podcast. It's been a pleasure over the last couple of months to allow Patrick and I to discuss our opinions and give you Ute news. So please, if you like us, follow us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast. Share us. We're looking into ways to improve the program. You know, we want to get some guest speakers on here, some phone calls in. We want to continue to develop the program for you guys. So help us out here. Give us all of your feedback, positive, negative. We want to take it and grow from it. But we will see you or talk to you here in the next couple of months. So thank you for listening to Ute Talk from our audio engineer, Marty. Patrick, and I am Andy. We will see you next time, and as always, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter at Ute Talk Podcast or email at utetalk@gmail.com.